And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, and welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Well, you know, it just does my heart good to be with you each week during the same time here on powerofprophecy.com, streaming audio around the world. Also, of course, WWCR, Worldwide Christian Radio, International Shortwave out of Nashville, Tennessee. Our studio in Austin, Texas at 1708 Patterson Road, where we've been, about 13 years here, I believe. I lose track of time just a little bit, but it's been great to be with you. You know, the ministry has been going on almost a quarter of a century now, and we've had terrific assaults against us. The forces of evil would like to close us down, but through the prayers of the saints and just telling the truth, that is an antiseptic protection against the germs of liars and thugs that would like to shut us down. And so we keep going right here, like, you know, that commercial on TV of the little rabbit, the battery ever ready or whatever it is. We just keep going. And it's so wonderful. I don't think I'm going to shut this place down till God takes me home. I don't know when that's going to be. And I'm going to leave that up to him. But I will tell you this much. I don't believe in committing suicide. Well, I'm having too much fun exposing evil in the darkness. Why would I want to kill myself? That's the silliest thing in the world. So if you ever open up the newspaper one day and they say Tex Mars was despondent and depressed and took his own life, you'll know it's a bunch of baloney. Because every morning when I wake up, I look in the mirror, I'm happy. I smile. That doesn't mean all things are good, but it confirms and validates what the Bible says, that all things work together for good. They end out okay. You know, I mean, my wife every once in a while, she spoils me by baking a cake. And, you know, cake's ingredients are just fine, but, you know, you put the eggs in to the batter and all that stuff. And, you know, without cooking, an egg could have some kind of a bacteria in it. You shouldn't be eating raw eggs, they say. So, you know, you shouldn't just be licking the dough, although I do like cookie dough. Oh, my, you shouldn't eat that, they say, because you could get sick. But anyway, I do. I sneak it. You know, when Wanda's not looking, I go and stick my finger in the cookie dough. And lick it. I know, you know, it's not right. And it's, you know, it's not, you know, good manners. Okay, but I do it. Don't you? Come on, admit it. You know, folks, you know you do it. Well, in any case, when she puts the batter, the dough, into the oven, she cranks it up to around 350, 450. I don't know what it is. But you see, during that period, you don't want to stick your hand in and touch it, the pan or the oven, or you'll get burned. So it has to go through a heating process. And I don't know how the cake feels about it. I'm not saying the cake's alive, although it looks pretty lively to me. But the point about it is during that process, it's put through heat. And you just don't want to mess with that heat if you're a human being. But when it comes out and it cools down, it looks beautiful. Then the icing's put on and everything. So, you know, it's like our human bodies and our life spans. Sometime the devil puts the heat on us. Yeah, he does. He puts the heat on us. He wants to stop our doing good and force us to join his evil plots and plans, his sinister agenda. But if we'll just bear up and say no, 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 then okay. Eventually we'll come out of that oven and we'll cool off and things will get better. all things work together for good for those who love the Lord. That's what it says. It doesn't mean for everybody. There's a lot of people, things are not going to work out good at all. They're going to work out terribly. But if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you believe in the truth, and he is the truth, you're a truth seeker because, after all, the Father of truth is God in heaven. Then everything will work out for good. Well, on the other hand, James says in the Bible, in the book of James, a letter from James, really, he says, listen up, you rich men, go to now, is the exact words. That's old King James for, listen up, awaken, here it comes. Woo. You rich men, he says, your future is bleak. Your gold, your silver, your money is not going to be worth anything someday. It's just going to be like it has canker worms on it. Rust. And you're just going to throw it into the streets. It'll be so worthless. Can you imagine the rich of the world? The International Monetary Fund and the Bank of International Settlements in Basel, Switzerland. The Goldman Sachs and the Merrill Lynch Wall Street crowd. And they look at the gold and they say, this is just junk. It's just like pig iron. May as well just throw it in the streets, and they will. I know there are a few people out there say, wow, I'm going to be out there scraping it up. Really? Well, you're going to be wasting your time. You just wasting your time is not going to be worth anything. Boy, talk about a deflationary spiral crash then. That's going to be the big one, isn't it? Right now, gold, of course, is going up through the moon. It's past 1100, I think 1156. Some people say that gold could go up to $5,000 or even $15,000 an ounce. Well, on the other hand, the big boys control the price of gold. If it goes up, it's at their pleasure. If it diminishes in price, well, they're having their heyday. So, because they would be selling it short in those circumstances. Some people actually are buying gold now, saying it's the only commodity that the rich have no power over. Oh, come on. The Rothschilds over in London set the price of gold. Don't fool yourself. It's always been my knowledge that if you are an investor, invest the way the wealthy invest. Gold's going up now because they want it to go up. Okay, if you're an investor, buy gold, I suppose. But you got to be very nimble on your feet because they may say it's going down now, and then you're going to be surprised. You know, and I hear all these fundamental arguments. Well, there's only a finite supply of gold in the world, and, you know, there's not enough being brought out of the gold mines, and we're going to run out of gold soon, and the price will go up because of that. Oh, no, no, no. There's plenty of gold. And if there's not, they're going to create it using some kind of derivatives process. That's what they did with all the real estate. They ran out of real estate to have mortgages on, so they just created fake real estate by taking the same house and making derivatives of it and selling it again 10, 20, 30, 40 times, the same house. Now, the man and woman who own the house, they just bought it one time and owed one mortgage, but the bankers took that one mortgage collateral and used it as security to create out of thin air multiple securities, multiple equities, I should say. That's why everything came crashing down. And by the way, they're doing that right now. The derivatives markets have not ended. In fact, they have been enshrined by the Obama administration. It's all set to happen again. Right now, of course, we have the greatest bubble in the world blowing up. Expanding. It will blow up and explode eventually and come crashing down. We've had the NASDAQ, the high-tech, you know, the internet, the dot-com bubble that broke in 1998. Of course, we had the credit crisis and the real estate bubble that crashed a couple years ago and is still continuing to this day to deleverage. But the money bubble, they have blown up the whole global economy and trying to reinflate the economy after all the derivatives and real estate crash. So watch out. There's a money bubble. And when that money bubble busts, don't get caught in the maelstrom. You'll be sorry. Well, I'm going to talk a little bit. All those things have to do with conspiracies, folks. We don't have any control over them because they're conspiracies of the rich, of the elite. But we can know about these conspiracies. And you can actually guide your life based on what these jerks, these thugs, these plotters, these planners of evil are doing. You can know what they're doing. The Bible says, in the last days, the wise shall understand. You don't have to always be a victim of these things. You can know a lot of things in advance. And the Bible has a lot of prophecies to guide you. But guess what? I've got a new book to help out. It's entitled Conspiracy World, a truth teller's compendium of eye-opening revelations and forbidden knowledge. I like revealing forbidden knowledge. That means if you get my new book, my friends, Conspiracy World, it won't be forbidden to you, only to those suckers out there who think there are no conspiracies. Have you ever talked to people say, I don't believe in conspiracies? Well, that's just incredible. You know, I went to a church one time, attended a church, and the pastor and I went to dinner together. He was a nice gentleman, and he says to me, I just don't understand these things, this Freemasonry and these secret societies and devil worship and Egyptian symbology and New Age movement. We don't have any of that in my church. This is just an ordinary church. I said, oh, you've got stuff going on in your church like that by members of your church. No. We're a Bible-believing church. And no, there's nobody here into that kind of stuff. I said, really? I said, well, how about brother so-and-so? You see, is it just as God would have? This way God, he makes appointments for Tex Morris. He'll make appointments for you too. I bet he already does. As it so happened, a lady of the church had come to me and to Wanda desperate for counseling. It seems that, and by the way, she was a member in good standing of this very large Baptist church. Independent Baptist Church. She said, but it doesn't matter. These people are found in Methodist, Episcopal, Lutheran, Catholic. I mean, they're everywhere. But she says to me, I've got a horrible problem. My husband is molesting my 17-year-old daughter. Okay, that's bad enough. But everybody in this church thinks he's a real godly man. But he's got a yen for my daughter, who is his stepdaughter. Okay, so we got one problem. But then she says, and he wants my daughter so much, that's her, she's talking about her husband, that he's got involved in Egyptian mysticism and Freemasonry stuff. I said, like, how? She said, well, he got these Masonic books from a doctor, a medical doctor who's a high-level Mason. And these books tell you how to do rituals and basically witchcraft, you know, hexes and curses and things. And she says, there's a wooded area behind our house, and I just discovered that my husband, she said, my husband just said he would like to go on walks in the woods behind our house. And I wanted to know why, because he never has been interested in nature. I went out, and she says, about 200 feet from the house, he has set up an altar with a black cloth, black candles, a human skull and devil things all over it. And Egyptian stuff. There's an obelisk. There's like a sphinx and Egyptian stuff. And then I found this literature that he has that talks about how to do an Egyptian ritual and call on the spirits of the dead pharaohs to give you prosperity and favors. She said he's calling on the ancient gods and goddesses of ancient Egypt and the spirits of Egypt to come forth. He's conjuring them up so he can not only have money and prosperity, but have my daughter as his sexual slave. She said, I confronted him on it and he admitted it. But he said, there's nothing wrong with it. He's still a Christian. He just added that to his Christian belief. So here we have this problem, and so Wanda and I are dealing with this woman and talking to the man who's the committing this horrible crime against God and his own family. And I told the pastor, are you aware there's a gentleman in your church who is, and I explained it to him. He was shocked. He said, well, just this Sunday, that man came forward and said he wanted to rededicate his life to God and got down and kneeled at the altar. I said, oh, his wife told me about that. He decided to have more power, energy power given to him from the beyond. He would go forward at the church and dedicate himself to Osiris, the ancient Egyptian sun god. And that's what he was doing, I said to the pastor. Well, you see, pastors are just mostly just sort of stupid. They're sort of dumb. They don't know these things. These things are going on all around us, friends. I'm telling you, this world is not what it seems to be sometimes. And things are strange and getting stranger. As the Apostle Paul said, things will wax worse and worse until the end comes with men deceiving and being deceived. And yet the Apostle Paul also said that the search for knowledge, for some kind of a scientific truth and knowledge, will expand. Every man learning but never able to come to the truth. Can you imagine that? You know, I taught for 3 universities. And I often pondered that verse when I taught at the University of Texas at Austin. The University of Texas at Austin has like 35 to 40,000 students and all. There's a law school and there's a school of petroleum engineering and all kinds of things going on at the University of Texas at Austin. Very prestigious school. And we were told as members of the faculty that there were 1,600 professors and instructors there. Can you believe a college, a university so immense that there are 1,600 teachers or professors? I was one of them. Now, I pondered Paul, men ever learning but never able to come to the truth. All of those professors had no real knowledge and understanding of the world. But they thought they did. They had PhDs and all kinds of engineering degrees, all kind of letters behind their names, but they were ignoramuses for the most part. Well, they had no real knowledge of the world because the Bible says the wise shall understand, but the wicked will not understand. Daniel 12, verse 10. Now, for over 20 years now, I've been writing feature articles for my newsletter, Power of Prophecy, each month. And we've got quite a collection. Now, I've picked out the top 137 feature articles on many different subjects. And I made sure they're timely. Timely as today's headlines. In fact, as tomorrow's headlines. Because many of these are predictive. In other words, they predict future events. And I placed these 137 articles all in one book. It's a huge book. It's a large format, you know, sort of like Codex Magica or Mysterious Monuments. 432 pages. But it's twice the size of a regular book in the format. So it's the same as almost 800 pages in all. It's filled with hundreds of photographs and pictures. And I want you to have a copy of this book. It's just out. I mean, actually, I was sent 2 advanced copies from the printer by special mail, and so I've got one of them here in my hands. Conspiracy World, a Truth Teller's Compendium of Eye-Opening Revelations and Forbidden Knowledge. Now, even if you have been reading my newsletters for over 20 years, there are things here that you probably, maybe you have missed many of them, or what I have done is in some cases I've updated them. I've revised it. I've given you fresh information. For example, I wrote a feature article in my newsletter about the missing congressional intern, Chandra Levy. You may remember that. Chandra Levy was a congressional intern who worked in Washington. She was from California, but she went to be an intern. You know, sort of like Monica Lewinsky was an intern for Bill Clinton. She was an intern who worked in the congressional offices of California Congressman, the Democrat, Dick Condit. Now, the interesting thing about Congressman Condit was that at the time he was a, it might have been the chairman, but he certainly was the ranking member, high ranking member of the House Intelligence Committee. In other words, he oversaw the Central Intelligence Agency, the Defense Intelligence Agency, the National Security Agency, the National Reconnaissance Office, Homeland Security. All those things were under his direction. He knew the inside scoop about all of our intelligence activities, as well as those of the Israeli Mossad, the British intelligence, French intelligence, Canadian, and so forth. And so Chandra Levy went to work for him as an intern. Well, they did a lot more than just professional work in the office, let's put it that way. And they began a sexual affair. These corrupt congressmen, they're so bad. It's not just Condit, of course, on the Democrat side. At the same time, Newt Gingrich was having an affair with his legislative assistant. And then he divorced his wife and married her. But, of course, he'll probably get another one and divorce her and marry her. That's the way these corrupt congressmen do things. But Condit was having this sexual affair. And remember, as a member of this House Intelligence Committee, he had all this information. And anyone who knew of what he was doing, if they had the dirty on him, if they had maybe photographs of him in a motel room doing sexual acts with a young woman, not his wife, who was an intern, in fact, during work time, she was being paid all right as an intern, but she was having sex with a guy. That's an easy way to blackmail a guy. And no doubt he probably was being blackmailed by the Israeli Mossad. They love to get dirt on congressmen. They have dossiers, folders of information that they keep on congressmen who accept bribes and are into sexual sins, homosexuality, adultery, and all those things. And believe me, they're going to do what the Israeli lobby says to do, or they'll be exposed. That's the way it works in Washington, D.C. Now, on the Chandra Levy case, I want to just give you an example of that. I did a lot of research at the time, and I discovered that poor Chandra Levy had been murdered. Now, she was missing. Nobody knew where she was. It was in all the news. Congressman Condit was eventually forced to resign. Still were looking for the girl, the young girl. They said she left her apartment, maybe went out to jog or something, and then she just went missing. Never came back. Her poor, heartbroken parents went on TV over and over begging for more information. Heartless as he was, Congressman Condit didn't give out much information, but he finally admitted there were sexual indiscretions between he and Chandra Levy. Now, in my research, I found some amazing things, which I talk about in a couple of places in my book, Conspiracy World. And in one of the areas, I talk about the fact that there is in Washington, D.C., a satanic cult among the highest levels of government. Diplomats, U.S. and otherwise, congressmen, senators, federal judges. That's right. The head of some of the major regulatory agencies, banking and so forth, all involved in Satanism. I'm talking about blatant worship of Satan, devil worship, and even human sacrifice. And I informed you of those things when I talked about Chandra Levy, because I had discovered that she had been murdered. And I explained exactly how it happened. And I told you in my newsletter where her body was could be found. I said she's been murdered in a satanic ritual that was conducted in an ancient mansion that is now called wrongly or falsely the Caretaker's Mansion at Rock Creek Park in Washington, D.C. There is an area much like New York Central Park or like other cities have of greenery, trees and jogging trails and walking trails and so forth, right inside the city limits. You can look from Rock Creek Park and see a lot of the major scenic sites, you know, the Washington Monument, the U.S. Capitol, and all those other buildings from Rock Creek Park. And yet it is dense with foliage and plant life and so forth. And there they have an ancient rock mansion. Very, very old. The land for the park and the mansion had been donated to the federal government many decades ago by a rich person whose name I will not mention right now. But in any case, I said there was a satanic ritual at Rock Creek Park in that mansion by these high-level government officials. And she was murdered at that as a human sacrifice, raped and murdered. That is my belief. That's what I believe happened. I also noted in my newsletter to you, dear friends, at the time, that Rock Creek Park is a satanic place because when the city of that part of Washington, D.C. was carved out, laid out, you might say, topographically and geographically, the Rock Creek Park area was set out in the shape of a goat's head. Can you imagine? Look at a map of Washington, D.C. and look at Goat Creek Park. Rock Creek Park. Yeah, it is Goat Creek Park. And you will see that roughly it is shaped in the form of a goat's head. Now, the Satanists, the goat is a holy and sacred figure for them. And that's because in the Bible, God said in the last days he would separate the sheep from the goats. And the goat with its horns has always been used in satanic sacrifices. And of course, there's the story of the scapegoat and many other things through history. So, the point I'm trying to make is that at this goat head shaped park, Rock Creek Park, at this satanic mansion, okay, owned by the taxpayers, I might add, as well as the parkland, they had killed this poor young girl who was ignorant of what was going to happen to her. But as I understand it, she had fallen in love with a congressman in his power, and she thought he might even divorce his wife and marry her, and she had begun to make waves. When are you going to divorce your wife? When are you going to marry me? Well, you know how that usually turns out. Not too well. So they decided it was time to shut her up. Her usefulness as a sex toy was over. She was getting too insistent that she be treated like a regular person. So they snuffed her out. Horrible things happen in Washington, D.C. They do. Beyond the laws being passed. You know, I remember, I think it was Will Rogers who once said, you know, every day that the Congress is in session is a day of horror and a day of great danger to Americans. In any case, this is what I said would happen. Did you know that within a year after I predicted where her body could be found, suddenly the newspapers announced that the body, or at least the skeletal remains of Chandra Levy had indeed been found. And guess where they were? In Rock Creek Park. There I had predicted exactly what had happened and told you where of all the places in the world where her body would be found. And it was. And you'll find that story, for example, in my new book, Conspiracy World. I'll be right back. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, tell you about some other things you'll find in this book and some other mysteries, scandals, cover-ups, and things, amazing things in my new book. I'm Tex Mars. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. Great to be with you. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Well, friends, as I was telling you, my new book, Conspiracy World, is here. 432 large format pages. of information. Here's a subtitle. I always try to give a subtitle to a book because that's very descriptive. A Truth Teller's Compendium of Eye-Opening Revelations and Forbidden Knowledge. 137 different articles, many, many pictures. I'll tell you, this is an amazing book. And let me just give you an idea of some of the topics covered in this book. I'll tell you, when Jesus said in John 8:32, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free," he said it, didn't he? There's revelation, revolution of blood, money and betrayal, pigs in the parlor, the Council on Foreign Relations, naked man on a white horse logo, the Order of Skull and Bones, Barack Obama, Black Pharaoh, the Illuminati, Bill Tower of Infamy, Illuminati Black Mass set for Great Pyramid, Rockefeller Money and the Breeding of the New Superman, the Murder of America, Blood Money and the Making of Human Cyber Slaves, Surviving Mother Told to Shut Up, the Coming Merger of the United States and Russia, Our National Parks Now Belong to the United Nations, the Masonic Plan for America, the Man of Sin, Federal Gestapo Shamelessly Targets Good Americans, the Golden Serpents of Freemasonry, the Pope of Rome, the Devil and the Masonic Lodge, Freemasonry Unmasked in the Vatican, Masonic Jews Plot to Control the World, UFOs, Aliens, Extraterrestrials, and Space, the True Conspiracy. There's Mother Mary, who warns Lucifer controls the Vatican. Huh? Say what? It's in the book, Conspiracy World. And there's Bible prophecies that foretell, and this is the shocker, Bible prophecies that forecast or foretell the use of laser death rays and nuclear weapons in the last days. Gog Magog and the Scroll of Bush. Mark of the Devil discovered. Witchcraft invades Christianity. Friends, this is an incredible book with all kinds of information. Here's one. Churches and Pastors Gone Wild. Mind Control and the Processing of Humanity, the World Soccer Cup Conspiracy. That's interesting. Well, you'll like that one. Let's see, A Sea of Blood, the Report from Iron Mountain. I have a lot of people that write me and ask me about that. Concentration Camps in America, Deadly Vaccines of the New World Order. All of these things and many more are found in my book, my new book, right just out now, Conspiracy World, A Truth Teller's Compendium. That's like a digest, a huge encyclopedic book, compendium, of eye-opening revelations and forbidden knowledge. You got to have this book, friends. Here's how you can get it. First of all, if you buy it at the bookstore, it's $29.95. But we're going to offer it to you here at the ministry and over the radio for just $25. $25 for this big format book. It's the size of two or three other books, regular size books in bookstores. Big, big formatted size. Hundreds of photographs and pictures. Okay, $25. That's the price to you, dear friends. And add $5 for the shipping and the handling. A total of $30 postpaid. So basically, you get free shipping, okay? Because $30, the book would cost about $30 in the bookstores. Plus, you'd have to drive, use your gas and your car and such to get there. Here, you can just phone us toll-free, 1-800-234-9673. 1-800-234-9673. Ask for the book, Conspiracy World by Tex Mars. By the way, few of you continue to misspell my name. I'm not insulted. I don't care. It's been done all my life. So, you know, I sort of enjoy having a name like Tex Mars is a little bit different. But actually, my first name is Tex, but it has an E on the end. Texy. It's a silent E. But, you know, my special friends can call me Texy if you really want to. I don't like it much, but if you're my friend, you can just about call me anything you want. Then there's the last name, Mars, and it's like the planet, M-A-R-R-S. I used to love to be an officer in the Air Force. And my friends used to call me Captain Venus, Captain Jupiter, when I was a captain over in Europe. And I always liked that. Yeah, I'm Captain Venus. Yeah, I was Captain Mars, yeah. They love that. You know, you got friends, they can get away with stuff like that. And, of course, I'm not going to tell you what I call them, you know, by their names, but that's another story. You know, friends, you don't get to choose your name, do you? Well, some people do. I guess they go to judges and courts and have them change. But I like my name, Tex Mars or Texy Mars, whatever you want to call it. I get a lot of people, you know, Jerry's here in my studio with me, my engineer. They call me Myers or Morris, you know. I get people who call me Mr. Morris Candy Bars. I like that. You know, there's Morris Candy Bars. I think they're made by Hershey, aren't they? Yeah, Morris Candy Bars. Well, that's spelled M-A-R-S, like the planet. But I have two R's. This is special. I'm special. Okay. Tex Mars. There we go. Okay, that'll do for the spelling of my name. But if you misspell it, I still love you anyway. It doesn't matter at all to me. But the important thing is I want you to have this book, Conspiracy World. Conspiracy, dear friends, are very real. And here in this book is proof that the world is more strange and far more evil and dangerous than you and I can even imagine. It really is. $30, post-pay that takes care of all the cost. Call us 1-800-234-9673 or go to our powerofprophecy.com website. It's right there at the top. You'll see the picture. You can click on that. It'll take you to a little description of the book and how to order and all that. Right there online. And by the way, you can also see our many free articles and free videos and news and things like that on our website, powerofprophecy.com. By the way, we also have a website. We call it the sister website. But, you know, if you want to be politically correct, we'll just call it the person website. Not the sister website, but the person. That doesn't make sense, does it? No. Or the twin website or something like that. I don't know. I'm not politically correct, though, so I call it the sister website. ConspiracyWorld.com. ConspiracyWorld.com. You can buy the book there, too. Actually, I think it just takes you. I don't want to mislead you. It takes you over, flip-flop you to... when you ask for that, it takes you to our powerofprophecy.com. But we have a lot of stuff there at Conspiracy World, things we don't even have on powerofprophecy.com. So we have two websites, Conspiracy World and Power Prophecy, each one a .com. Okay? Now, you can write to us, send us your check for $30, put a little note, a little sticky note or a piece of scratch paper or something, say, hey, Tex, here's my check, money order, or cash. Send me your new book, Conspiracy World. We got a lot of copies of this thing. We're going to order more if we have to. We're going to keep it flowing. Now, I think it's going to be a big seller. And remember again, I do not receive royalties on my books. I do not receive royalties on my books that I offer here in the ministry. Now, if they're published by somebody else, I have some earlier books, Dark Secrets of the New Age. No, I guess that's not one. Oh, I can't even remember. I do have a few early books that were published by other publishers. For many years now, I've been publishing my own books through Rivercrest Publishing, which we own here at the ministry. So basically, I receive no royalties on the books. Some people may say, well, how do you do that? How can you write books and not receive royalties? Because I want to. Because I want to give the money to the ministry. And at the end of the year, even sometime during the year, if any money's left over, there's something to pay me and Wanda for our work. We pay ourselves. When you send a love gift, maybe that'll help Wanda and I out and put some food on our table. But I'm not worried about it. I probably need to lose a few pounds anyway. So, you know, don't worry about it. I want you to help the ministry. That's the whole thing. That's why I donate all of my royalties to the ministry. They all go into the ministry. When you order a video, like our newest video, Rothschild's Choice, Barack Obama and the Hidden Cabal Behind the Plot to Murder America, costs $25, $5 shipping and handling. Some people say, well, how much do you get of that, Tex? And, you know, they have some imagination, some fancy imagination. Well, I bet out of $25, Tex gets at least 15. No, I don't. I get zero. I get nothing. It all goes into the ministry. And frankly, if we didn't have love gifts from our good friends out there, we'd have to close our doors. We actually lose money selling things in the ministry. It only keeps the machine going. In other words, we labor out of love for the truth. That's what we're here for. And if I receive no salary, if I'm at the end of the year, there's no money left, and that's happened. Believe me, that has happened. And you know, I'm just going to have to take money out of my savings or beg, or maybe Jerry over here will give some of his salary back. I don't know. I'm only kidding, Jerry. I'm not asking you to do that. Okay. But I was just, you know, I think last week and this week is the only time I think I've ever told people that I don't receive royalties. Because they probably think that I do. Because I've written many best-selling books. And they say, boy, he must be just plowing in money. But actually, the royalties go, there's no royalties. All the profits go into the ministry. Okay? So I want you to know that because a lot of people don't understand that. Another thing, we have a wonderful, wonderful project for the orphanage, the Texas Children's Orphanage. Actually, it's called the Children's Home. And if you give to that, you need to designate your gift. And here's the good news about that. We don't take out one penny even for administration. You know, if you give money to the United Way or to the American Cancer Society or even the Salvation Army, they have to have administration. Well, we do. That's why my royalties go to the ministry. It's because when we have a project like that for the Texas Children's Home that goes to the kids, I guarantee you every cent. And I'm more than welcome for the IRS or the auditors of the world to come in and see us. On that project, I promise you, every penny goes to the Texas Children's Home. In other words, you know, now sometimes we buy things for the Children's Home. We in past years, we've given every young person there a Bible. Every young person got a gift Bible. We've done that for several years, so now there's really almost nobody there that doesn't have a Bible. But if anyone needs one, we will give them. We're going to make sure that I think that, boy, you know, it's one thing to feed kids, and I think that's important, to clothe them. But if you don't clothe them with the Word of God, what good is it going to be? They live on this earth, who knows, 50, 80 years, and then you're gone. You've got to be clothed with the Word of God. You've got to put on the armor, as Paul says, the Word of God. And that's what we've done. We make sure they get a Bible. Any kid at the Children's Home that wants a free Bible, we'll give it to them. By the way, any prisoner in a prison who wants the Holy Bible, the King James Bible, who writes to us, we will send you a free Bible. How about that? A free Bible. Now, that's not for the folks out there that have money. I'm talking about prisoners in prisons. You say, well, they deserve to be there. Yes, they do. But I don't want them to spend eternity in prison. Whatever, I think they should get their punishment. And I'm not one of these soft, namby-pamby guys, friends. You know that. You commit the crime, you pay the time. And I don't believe in parole boards very much either, to be honest with you. It bugs me endlessly for a person to get life in prison and then they're out in 5 or 6 years. What's that all about? If they sentence you to life in prison, I think you ought to spend life in prison. And if you've killed somebody, you raped some little girl, you better believe, as far as I'm concerned, let me pull the switch. I believe in the death penalty for such monsters as that. But, okay, so I know some of you agree with me on that. I think most of you do. You really do. I've always said these criminals like that would hurt little children, murderers and thugs. I've always been for actually be merciful and generous to them. Have a shark infested South Pacific island and parachute them down on it and let them feed on each other out in the South Pacific somewhere. And patrol it constantly with naval patrol boats and don't let them off. Don't let them back into society. Yeah, I believe in life. Spend it there on that deserted island with others of your kind. But don't Okay, enough of that. Jerry, I lost track. I got so tied up in that. We were talking about Conspiracy World. Okay, Conspiracy World, a very important book. First I've ever done like this. And I went over all of my material for 20-some-odd years, and everything I made sure was current and important for right now. And there's articles in here about Rothschild, about gun control, about vaccines, all kinds of interesting things for you. Conspiracy World is the name of it. Please order it. Hey, we're having the holiday season come up here, Christmas, New Year's, and buy a friend a book. Buy a pastor a book. He probably won't read it. I don't think they read very much. They don't even read the Bible nowadays. But hey, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe your pastor will be different. Oh my. Okay, let's return to our regular program. I'm Tex Mars, and I'm here as your friend and your fellow servant. I've always believed that I'm a servant. I'm not much of a leader, really. I'm a good servant, though. I believe in following the Lord. Whatever he says, do. You know, the Bible says that those who belong to Jesus Christ, their eyes follow the Lamb 24 hours a day. Isn't that an amazing thing? Can you imagine? Their eyes follow the Lamb. That's what I like to do. I'll go wherever he says. Now, Conspiracy World. Some of the things you'll find, page 29, the article, The Pigs Are in the Parlor. The Pigs Are in the Parlor. Well, who are the pigs? Well, that's the men of the, and some women, of the Council on Foreign Relations, the Trilateral Commission, the Bilderbergers, and other Illuminati organizations. And in this article, I give you the four pillars of the Illuminist agenda. These pigs, that's what they are. What are they after? Why have they got their snouts down deep in the trough? First of all, I say they're there because their goal is to incite and oversee a disastrous clash of civilizations. They're pitting religions, ethnic groups, nationalities against one another. Second, their goal is to end American sovereignty. We're the only world superpower today. They want to end American sovereignty and merge the USA into regional and global systems of governance. Third, their desire, what they're working for, is to transform the United States into a third world culture and economy, crushing America's middle class, that's you and me, collapsing our economy, making desperate citizens then willingly subservient to the Illuminati's leadership and solutions. Oh, they've got solutions for us. And fourth, the fourth pillar of the Illuminati agenda is that they intend to establish a dictatorial, Masonic-inspired, Zionist global empire. 18.5 million Jews around the world, 7.5 million of them are in the United States, the most powerful of all. Some of them, the Rothschilds, are in the United States and France and Belgium and Great Britain. Zionist global empire, Masonic-inspired, dictatorial, totalitarian. Communist, you bet, but worse, fascist communist, Zionist. It'll be like something the world has never seen. And it's already being put together by Rothschild and Obama right now and all of their cronies, you know, Rahm Emanuel and so forth. The pigs are still in the parlor. That's what I say, starting on page 29 of my book. Then just a couple of pages after that, I solved the riddle of the Council on Foreign Relations by letting you know I was the first one to discover the true meaning of the naked man on the white horse. Now you might say, well, the naked man, I don't know, who is that? Well, the Bible talks about the man coming on a white horse, Revelation 6, the first rider of the four horses of the apocalypse. The first man comes seemingly in peace, but he has a bow in his hand. And he goes forth to conquer the whole world. Guess what? The logo of the CFR, the same people that have put forth this North American plan to end American sovereignty and merge us with Canada and with Mexico, their very symbol, their logo, and it's posted, printed on the cover of each copy of their own journal entitled Foreign Affairs. You'll see it at Barnes & Noble and other bookstores. Is a naked man giving a satanic Masonic hand sign riding a white horse on a black background, circular background, the whole world turning into blackness, pitch black. And a word in Latin, ubique, underneath him. What is the meaning of the word ubique? Ah, yes. Well, you'll find out in my book, Conspiracy World, my new book. On page 35, I examine the order of skull and bones. And I stated, and by the way, this article came out right before the election of George W. Bush, who won against John Kerry. Kerry was the Democrat. Bush was the Republican. Here's what I said. I said, the next president of the United States will be an initiate of the Order of Skull and Bones. Actually, that I didn't have to predict very far on that one. Since both Kerry and Bush were initiates, only 1 year separated in graduation at Yale University, both of them initiates of the Order of Skull and Bones. And I told you all the meaning of that. And that Kerry, by the way, on page 37 of Conspiracy World, my new book, you find out that John Kerry, who claimed to be an Irishman and would even march on the St. Patrick's Day parades in Boston, Massachusetts, where he's a senator. But in fact, he's a Jew. He's a Jew. And I proved that to you. His Jewish grandfather's real name was Fritz Kohn, K-O-H-N. Fritz set up shop with fellow Jews on Wall Street when they came over from Czechoslovakia as an immigrant and soaked up a fortune ripping off Gentile clients. That's how Kerry's family got rich. But that wasn't enough for the young man, or the old man, whatever he is now today. Senator John Kerry married Teresa Hines, another Jewish woman, heir to the billion-dollar Hines ketchup and food dynasty. She's Jewish. He's Jewish. He's skull and bones. Bush was skull and bones. No matter who you voted for, you got skull and bones. And I explain all that and much more. On page 39, I talk about Barack Obama, mysterious monuments, and the second coming of Osiris. You've heard of the second coming of Christ. There's a second coming of Osiris, the Egyptian sun god. Some people say he's here. He lives at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue in Washington, D.C., with his precious and lovely wife, Michelle, who's handler, by the way, who's chief of staff for the first lady, Michelle Obama, is none other than Susan Scher, or Schar, S-H-A-R, a Jew, a Jewish woman. She did have a black woman, but they said, no, we're going to have a Jew to watch over you. Make sure you do what we want. See, Obama doesn't have much liberty. You think he does. President can do anything he wants. Nope. You're wrong. This book just has so many things of power in it. And here's on page 52 starts some very interesting information. Devil companies, devil products, devil logos. For example, Microsoft. Bill Gates, they say, is either the first or the second richest man in the world. Of course, they're putting aside the Rothschilds, the Bronfmans, and the others. He founded Apple Computer Company. Right now, their iPhones certainly seem to be taking over the world. Boy, those things are selling. The iPhone. My wife, Wanda, has an iPhone. And it is an interesting thing, although she doesn't seem to have the time to really learn it. And me, hey, I like, I'm sorry. Folks, I just don't have time to learn all about all these new fangled things. You know, I have graduated to cordless phones and left the old landlines behind, but the iPhone and all these things that are so computerized, oh my goodness, I just don't have time to learn them. Seems like these kids, though, are a lot quicker on that. Maybe my grandson, when he visits me from California, maybe he can teach me how to do those things. In any case, did you know that Stephen Jobs and Steve Wozniak, the two founders of Apple Computer Company, the first personal computer company, by the way, they started out of their garage, just made a few of them and went around and tried to sell them to electronics supply stores. And it became one of the most powerful corporations in the world, Apple. And their very first computer, Apple computer, was offered at retail at the price of $666. Coincidental? You decide. By the way, Bill Gates, I hope I didn't say Apple. He's, of course, the founder of Microsoft, the most powerful software company in the world. If you use Internet Explorer or Windows, and almost everybody does, operating system of your computer, that's Microsoft. And, of course, they have many other pieces of software to go with it. Bill Gates, powerful man. He and his wife, Melinda, by the way, have the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. And they're very busy giving free money away. Now, don't ask them for anything that you need. They don't care about you. But they're giving money to the United Nations for birth control, abortion, the environment, and things like that. If you're starving to death, well, they're not going to send you a stick of macaroni. But if you want to kill 50 babies over in Nigeria, well, they got a grant for you. By the way, one of their grants has been used for developing new vaccines. They're big believers in zero population growth. I think that's interesting. By the way, in this book, let's see, I think it's page 119, I talk about Congressman Condit. And, oh my goodness, there's so much in this book, and there's so many names. I said it was, I think I said before, Jerry, Dick Condit. Well, there is a Dick Condit, but no, this is Gary Condit. So, please, what I said before, some things just get in your head, you know. I don't use a script for this program, and every once in a while, I'll get a name, you know, confused or whatever. So, I'm talking about Gary Condit when I mention the Chandra Levy case. Okay? Congressman Gary Condit. Now, what I say about the mysterious death of Chandra is quite interesting. Beginning on page 171 of my book, new book, Conspiracy World, I have an article entitled Two on a Saddle. You know, two on one saddle. And there is a meaning to that, of course. The ancient Knights Templar, the predecessors of the Masons, their logo was two men riding on one saddle. Brothers. But there is a sexual connotation to the two men on one saddle. And I'm not going to go into further, but I think you can understand that. And in the articles, too, in a saddle, I talk about the sordid priests, cult gurus, politicians, Masons, and serial killers that populate the homosexual ranks. And on page 175, I state this. I said, Congressman Gary, that's Gary Condit, suspected of having something to do with the disappearance of intern Chandra Levy, is reputedly known in the Washington, D.C. gay community as a bisexual into major sexual deviance. Condit reportedly dresses up in leather and chains, practices satanic bondage, and has had multiple male sex partners. Now, that's the rumors. That's the reputed. Another congressman, in fact, said some of these things about Condit. Condit, an owner of a Harley-Davidson motorcycle, is a regular at Hell's Angels biker parties. He would attend these Hell's Angel biker parties, especially when butch male homo bikers threw a shindig. A little degrading and despoiling. Sort of Clinton-esque, wasn't he? All of this is in my book, Conspiracy World, a truth teller's compendium of eye-opening revelations and forbidden knowledge. Been great being with you today. I hope you get my new book, Conspiracy World. Call us 1-800-234-9673. Meanwhile, each week during this same time, my prayer is that you will tune in and discover the power of prophecy.